I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
For the first time, we go green.
Is Heidfeld going to fancy a look into the last corner of the race? Heidfeld goes to the inside line, and they make contact, and they're both off, and that's an accident.
Here we have our first solo Formula E podcast, just because it's coming into such a massive round. My name's Josh.
I'm Brenton.
In the past we've teamed up our Formula E podcast with Formula One, just because it's kind of a junior series with some big F1 names.
Yeah, cross-relevance there, yeah.
But I tell you what, coming into this doubleheader finale, it's got a lot more drama than the F1 season has.
Yeah, and especially in Australia, it's sometimes it's hard to find coverage of Formula E, and even you're trying to use the illegal route, it's even harder to find there. So,
Channel 10 are giving me the shits. No, yeah. They play them, but it might be at 3 p.m. on the next Wednesday or some bullshit.
Yeah, exactly, or just completely go over them. So we've been trying to keep abreast of the season, and it's been an action-packed season as well. So we think there's a lot of value in this series, in its inaugural season. So we try and keep abreast of what's been happening, and it's come to a really big conclusion with a doubleheader in London to decide a championship.
Yeah, and if you're new to Formula E, just pretty much imagine Formula 1, but with all electric cars.
Yeah.
A little bit slower, but some things they have that F1 don't are crazy car swapovers, because the battery they've been using won't last the whole race.
Yeah.
So around the halfway mark, you see drivers pull in, jump out of the car, jump in a new one, and go off. They do have minimum pit stop times, so if you're able to have a quick release, it doesn't really help any.
Yeah.
But we have seen...
Well, if you can get off a quick release and a pit stop, then hey, more power to you.
Yeah. Oh. Whatever works for you. Yeah. But we have seen a couple of drivers stay longer because they misread the rules. Alain Prost's son, yep. Nicholas, and Buemi both had that happen to them. Less than happy with that, they were.
Yeah, and there's been a few things they've been less than happy about this season. So,
yeah. But for a first season of a series, it is spectacular.
It's been excellent.
I sort of started watching pretty much because it was a weekend that there was no F1 on.
Yeah.
And the racing has been fantastic. Drivers aren't afraid to get involved a bit, yeah. But it's a very much a reward for daring in a lot of these tracks.
I explain it as a cross between go-karting and remote-controlled cars. It's almost like you got the electric whine of the old RC cars when we used to fly them around the track, and you got the craziness of go-karts.
Yeah, and you get to see some drivers that you haven't seen in a long time, or some drivers that missed out, like... Aldiswari, Jean-Éric Riverne.
Yep.
And some up-and-comers. Yeah. Like Nicholas Prost, Matthew Brabham had a couple of races. It was pretty unfortunate.
Yep.
But, heading into the doubleheader, we'll talk about that first, then go over the season a bit.
Yep. Sounds good.
So, unlike F1, there's 11 rounds in Formula E, but only the top 10 count.
That's right. Yeah.
So, they used to do that back in the day. I think Prost actually won and lost a driver's championship based on that countback system. But the contenders we've got, Sam Bird for Virgin Racing on 68 points, Jerome D'Ambrosio for Dragon Racing on 77, Nicholas Prost on Edams Renault on 82 points, Sebastian Buemi, Edams Renault on 102 points, Luca de Grassi, Audi ABT, 111, and Nelson Piquet Jr., Nextel Team China Racing on 128, leading the pack. Nelson Piquet Jr. is kind of a poison chalice, that lad. His reputation at the moment is always going to be tainted by his crashing out for Renault.
Yeah, I think following that, he might have had a stint in stock cars. I think he went over to NASCAR to try and... I'm guessing you couldn't find a seat in Europe for him. For those who don't know, he had a crash with... Well, but he helped Fernando Alonso win a race.
If you're new to open wheel racing, he crashed on behalf of his teammate to bring out a safety car to bring Fernando Alonso back into the race. And then a couple of years later, when contract negotiations were up and they said, Nelson, you aren't going to get one, he went running to the media. And, yeah, pretty much that finished his Formula One career.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll run through the drivers. One thing about Formula E, they give points for pole position. They give 3 points. And they give 2 points for the fastest lap. I have no idea why F1 doesn't do this. I think it's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, me too. I like the idea of rewarding people for the work they're doing. Well, in F1 would be a Saturday, but here it's all done on the same day. So the work they've done prior to the race.
Well, I think with F1 especially, towards the end of the race, it often becomes a procession.
Yep.
But if you've got drivers eking out every point, you'll see the top 20 all putting in blistering qualifying laps, especially if you're sitting around, you know, 12th, 13th, and you've got no chance of making points.
Yeah.
Fuck it, stop in, put some new fresh boots on, and try and go hell for leather.
And I mean, some of those smaller teams where a point can mean hundreds of millions of dollars, well, not hundreds of millions, hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars at the end of the season in prize money, it's almost worth sort of juicing the fuck out of your engine and trying to get points on the Saturday as opposed to pretty much having no chance on the Sunday.
Yeah, I think you've got to, you'd have to specify they had to finish the race to do that. Otherwise, people just wind up the cars to buggery and, you know, oh, fuck it, crash, whatever.
You know, qualifying would be a race unto itself. You know, you have two people who do qualify and be like, I'm not interested in the race. Just going out.
But they'd be taking a 10-place grid penalty every week just trying to get the fastest lap. Wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, it means that because it's a double header, there's 60 points on offer all weekend. So 25 for the win and 3 for pole, 2 for fastest lap on each race.
Yeah. I think the rundown of points from 1st to 10th is the same in Formula 1, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only the difference with the qualifier, pole and fastest lap that'll get you some points.
Yeah. So here in Australia, the race starts at 4 p.m. Saturday and Sunday in London. Here in Australia, that's 1 a.m. Yeah, so
Sunday morning and Sunday morning,
Monday morning, 1 a.m.
Yeah, so we're going to watch Sunday night and Monday night.
But you've also got qualifying groups. They start at midday, so 4 hours earlier, which brings it back to 9 p.m. So you'll have a good 45 minutes of, or 45 to an hour of watching some decent qualifying as well.
Yeah, well, if you're just coming home, you can watch a bit of qualifying, have a nap, or kick on straight through, crack a beer, and watch the E-Prix.
Yeah, and the other thing too, about Formula E that has detractors and proponents is the fan boost. If you're not aware what it is, if you're a fan of a driver, you can log into the Formula E website, give them a vote, and the top few votes get a boost in power that they can use any time of the race.
Yeah, I think it's a good initiative to get fan involvement in Formula E, but it's a bit gimmicky, I think.
Yeah, I like the involvement, but I don't like what it does that way. I think it cheapens the race a bit.
Yeah, and you're giving someone an unfair advantage based on nothing to do with talent at all.
Yeah, it's a bit of Hunger Games.
Yeah, I think John Eric Verne gets it every week, just about.
Yeah, everyone feels sorry for the poor fuck. But look, if they want to involve that sort of shit, I don't know a better way of doing it, but yeah. I just think something that doesn't compromise the race.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's other things you could do to get the fans involved. I mean, that'll do something starting off from scratch, and that's what they decided, and I guess it's been successful with people sort of having interest in following a driver as well as a team, so it has its merits for a year, but I think it's time knocking on the head.
Mm. Well, look, you know, good on for trying these sort of things. Yep. Like I said, they're a young series, so they're going to make mistakes.
Yep.
But, geez, I've got a lot right.
Yeah.
But look, we'll go through the drivers.
Yeah.
Before we do, Al Jaswari, that a lot of people follow from F1, he won't be competing this weekend because he had dehydration and he was fainting.
Really?
And they revoked his super license until he gets examined. So he's not going to be able to pass it in time, so his season's done.
Isn't he a DJ as well?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure maybe he was out hitting the... He's on the pingers or something all weekend. He hasn't had too much water and he's coming, it's all good, I'll still drive.
Well, he wouldn't be the only Formula E driver to do that, but we'll go through that a little bit later.
Yeah.
But, we'll start with Sam Bird.
Yeah, we'll start with the bottom of the people who are still in a sniff for the championship, but unlikely to get there.
Yeah. Sam Bird's on 68 points. He would be not one you'd have money on, simply because it's going to take a lot of effort for him to get there.
Yeah.
For him to win the championship, he'd need to take both poles, win both races, get both fastest laps, and Piquet and Degrassi need to pretty much crash out, and Buemi needs to finish you know, fifth or worst.
Yeah, so it's going to be either a miracle or he's an English lad, so maybe a bit of home court advantage here. You get through people to be able to throw a few spike strips out or something. Maybe there's a crack.
He needs to be driving a bulldozer pretty much.
But I mean, he's very experienced in open wheel racing. He came through sort of your general European system of Formula 3. He did GP2, did Formula Renault 3.5. He also tested with Mercedes F1. Came second in the GP2 season in 2013 with 5 wins. And for those that aren't sure, GP2 is one of the next closest feeder series for Formula 1. And the cars aren't that much slower than the Formula 1 cars these days. So it's legitimate racing. And he's definitely got the talent, but with that requirement of what he needs to win this championship, unlikely, I'd say.
By all accounts, when he was test driving at Mercedes, he was right up there. And it just so happened that they've got two brilliant drivers that they couldn't really... put out to pasture because of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, look, he's experienced, but I can't see him doing much.
No. I mean...
on this weekend.
If he does win, it means it's going to be a goddamn exciting race weekend.
So. Yeah, I mean, to his credit, he's got one win in Malaysia in round two and one fastest lap in Argentina in round four. But he does have three DNFs. That's what hurts him.
Yeah, and DNFs were a common occurrence for this season, mainly because the aggressiveness of the drivers, which... not necessarily, well, some of them are unsafe, but most of them are race incidents and not too much damage, but it's good to see, you know. There's obviously many fans that don't enjoy the occasional crash for a bit of spectator excitement.
Oh, yeah, and the good thing too, though, there wasn't a lot of mechanical retirements. You didn't see a lot of engines breaking.
Yeah, that's true, actually, yeah.
Which, for emerging technology, is pretty amazing. I think next year you might see a few more because it's going to be 8 new constructors.
Yep.
Which, you know, if you follow F1, there's going to be 2 next year, and that's a bumper year. But 8 new constructors wanting to get involved in Formula E. That says it all right there.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think it's good for not only sort of open wheel racing, but for the drivers, because F1 is such the pointy end of racing, and there's a lot of drivers in there who are there with cash, not with skill. So you want another open wheel racing league that has potential to get there. And I think they're planning on opening up development as sort of the seasons progress slowly, so they do it right and attract the right teams they need. And yeah, I think it's got a real promising future.
Well, one of the problems with electric cars has always been battery life.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they're a fantastic idea. Battery life and refueling time. Because with an electric motor, you get loads of low down torque. So you've got instant power. There's no building up the revs.
Yeah.
It's just straight up. But if you've got to charge it up overnight every time you drive more than a couple hundred K, it's a struggle. Especially because the battery packs weigh shit tons.
Yeah.
But we're seeing with Tesla now, they're making much smaller battery packs.
Yep.
And it's entirely possible in the next few years we're going to see similar weights to Formula One.
Yep.
And if they can do that, you know, who's to say they can't get similar timing?
Yeah, well, I think they definitely, I think absolutely 100% get there. It's just a matter of when. But, it's just a matter of improving battery technology, isn't it?
Really? Well, here's a question, though. If Formula E outperforms Formula One, which one's the premier series then?
Well, I think they could be concurrent, and Formula One can go back to mainly combustion engines, and they can take some technology that's been developed by Formula E. And I think Formula E can progress to sort of... where when you see sort of Ferrari develop those...
the Icon Project cars.
And the Icon Project cars. I think
they're... look fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, I think that's what Formula E cars are probably going to end up looking like, more opposed to Formula One. I think I'd like to see Formula One go back to combustion, give them fucking V10s. Not an historic series, but I think they should stay down that route, and you can let Formula One develop the electronic side of engines, and it'd be some sort of cross-promotion. There's no reason why you couldn't have, let's say, a Honda in F1 and a Honda in... Formula E.
Well, no, that's what I was going to mention too. It makes entirely a shit ton of sense. If you're, say, Williams, for example, who aren't particularly tied to anything, if they want to run a team Formula E, certainly can. It'll be a logistical fucking nightmare.
Yep.
But it would make amazing amounts of sense to have a feeder series that's very similar to F1, and you can try out your junior drivers or, you know, try out a driver you've been wanting to see for a while.
Yeah.
It would make a lot of sense, especially Williams, because they do have their emerging technologies division, which are doing bloody well. But yeah, it's going to be an amazing series to watch. So get in on the ground floor and get an idea of what's going to happen this weekend.
Yeah.
But we'll move on. The next driver we've got is Jerome D'Ambrosio for Dragon Racing. That's the other thing too, Dragon Racing and Nextev TCR. We're seeing a fair bit of Chinese influence.
We are.
China hasn't really had Grand Prix driver of note in the high-end series.
No.
But they're trying to get involved more and more. I think as a manufacturer, it can lend legitimacy. Because at the moment, Chinese cars are a joke.
Most stuff coming out of China is a joke, let's be honest, when it comes to sort of durability and quality.
Yeah. I mean, if you buy a car, SsangYong or or some of their other brands.
Great Wall. Never seen one on the road, ever.
I have, but it's generally P-plater tradies who can't afford anything else, and then when it breaks down, they get to fix it.
Yeah, fair enough.
So it's hands-on learning, I suppose. Mm. But, yeah, it's... they're shit.
Yeah.
But prior to F1's involvement with Japan, like with Honda... Mercedes. Honda, Mazda, a few of the other brands, Toyota... a lot of those cars were considered the same. They were jokes.
Yeah.
But, look, China's trying to get involved there. They're not really drawing to a particular manufacturer yet. But it could elevate their cars. Hopefully they'll build them a bit fucking better first. But
yeah, I mean, it could. But I think the main thing will be private investment from China. I don't think it'll probably have that much effect on their road cars for the immediate future. But I think private investment coming from there... it's going to be a good thing, but you'd still like to see even spread across Europe, Asia, Middle East, and you'd like to see one in Australia too.
Yeah, unfortunately, I haven't had that since Brabham, and even then, it was mainly in the UK. But anyway, we'll go back to D'Ambrosio. He's got only one win, which was in Round 8 in Germany.
Yep.
And that was the one that was handed to him. Luca de Grassi won the race by 7.5 seconds, so he was quite handy there. But unfortunately, he got DQ'd because of his front wing. The report on that stated that in post-race scrutineering, they found that the repairs they'd done to his front wing were illegal. And one of the big things was he closed off the holes in the canards in the front of it where you can adjust the levels.
Yep.
And they're saying that gives an aero advantage. I don't reckon it's 7.5 seconds of aero advantage over the race. But, you know, to their credit, they've gone, well, here's the rule. Nah. Not happening. They didn't give him a time penalty. They just said, no, you are done.
Yep.
Which, you know, for a new series, you've got to lay down those sort of rules early.
Yeah.
So from now on, anytime someone wants to try and push things a little bit, which they all do, but, you know, they would probably err on the side of caution.
Well, you're definitely going to make you think twice when the consequences are being excluded, and especially someone who, you know, you'd hope to be fighting for a title next year as well. So,
I mean, you know, you look at that. Had he won the race... he's in a position to challenge because they put him on 100 points, essentially. Yeah. Which would mean he'd just have to have a decent weekend to win rather than a pretty much impossible one.
Yeah, he'd have a few things to fall back on where he needs absolutely everything to go his way, whereas before he could be afforded one or two mistakes if he had won that race. But, I mean, Ambrosio's Belgium, I think, coming out of Belgium for Dragon. He's had a history in Formula 1. He got the drive for Virgin when they took over from... were they Marussia or whatever they called themselves before that one? That was in 2011. Then he was reserve driver for Lotus after that. They ended up going with someone else at Virgin. And the only race he had then was when Grosjean was excluded for a race for some crazy first lap antics where he's bashed into someone, I'm sure.
Grosjean. Crazy motherfucker. But, for D'Ambrosio to win, he needs both wins and at least one pole or fastest lap. Yep. And PK needs to just crash out both races. And DeGrassi and Buemi need to pretty much finish out of the bottom end of the points.
Yeah.
In both races and not get any poles or fast lap. So you're not putting any money on this happening.
Yeah.
I think even D'Ambrosio's family would sort of be keeping the money in the pocket.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sure that would be too.
But speaking of money in the pocket, we'll move on to Nicholas Prost because, you know, his old man could drive a bit.
Well, he was known to turn a wheel or two in anger.
Yeah, Alain Prost, obviously world champion. Nicholas has shown a lot. Like, the race I saw him win, which was...
I think it was the second one, was it?
Round 5 Miami. He won that one. Yep. He didn't put a foot wrong. He was utterly flawless. Right. And for a guy his age, and he's not old by any means. I mean,
33.
Yeah,
kind of old. I don't know who's that old. Shit. Kind of looks like a cross between Robert Kubica and... what's that fucking dude out of Old School? Mitch, yeah, anyway.
For a guy his age, he probably should have done more. But you look at what he's been doing. A lot of it's been in World Endurance.
Yeah.
Mixed success there. He was quite good earlier on in Le Mans. He had a best season finish of third. For Rebellion Racing. If you don't know who Rebellion Racing are, they have some spectacular looking cars. But, he's kind of dropped off in the last 5 years, but he's shown a lot of skill.
Yeah.
And some beautiful overtaking manoeuvres in this season of Formula E. He's been looking brilliant. So he's got that win, along with one fastest lap, which was at Long Beach, so he had a good US campaign.
Yep.
And two poles in the first two rounds.
Yeah, well, he should have won the first race. But he decided that he'd crash into Nick Heidfeld to make sure none of them won a race. So
yeah.
Wasn't terribly smart. But he actually copped a 10-place grid penalty for that in the next race as well. So mm-hmm. If you look at he takes that win and doesn't have a 10-place grid penalty in the next race, could be completed from championship.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, too, you look at his results, and even though he crashed, he still finished the race. He's the only driver out of the competitors, or the potential champions, who has no DNFs and no weekends where he didn't score points.
Yeah, and how many is he behind in the championship? What's that?
43?
Oh, yeah, 46 there he is down there. But yeah, obviously he's French, going for EDM Renault seat. He used to be reserve driver for... the reserve or test driver for Lotus. His history, like you said, has been in WEC. Did lots of Le Mans racing. He was third in the Le Mans series in 2011, like Josh said, for Rebellion Racing. They were a Toyota-powered engine in the LMP1 category. And, yeah, if he wins, I think it'll be interesting to see what Renault do in regards to their Formula activities, because they got two drivers in, well, a very good chance of winning this championship, and it looks like they could wrap up their Formula 1 endeavours. And I think there's six French drivers in Formula E already.
Well, that's the thing, too. Prost and Buemi are the only teammates out of the potential champions.
Yeah.
So, you know, that you'd have to say Prost, it's not going to happen for him because he'd need to win both races and then hope Piquet crashes out for both races to have a good shot. And then if you throw in a couple of poles, a couple of fastest laps, he looks a little bit better.
Yeah.
But he's still depending on Piquet having a shit weekend and Buemi and Degrassi and...
Bird. Where else?
Oh. Buemi, Degrassi and PK having shit ones, pretty much. But look, it probably won't happen, but what happens if he gets the call saying, mate, you want to hold up the group a bit? Like, if Buemi qualifies ahead of him, could he play a rear gunner role?
Yeah, I'm pretty certain that Prost don't help teammates. So
well, that's what I mean. Like, his dad is the team principal, so it would be him on the radio saying... Nicolas, would you mind just maybe holding back a little bit?
Yeah, I think there's zero chance of that happening. Yeah. I think with a French team, with a French boss and a French driver, I think they're going to be going red, white and blue all the way.
It'd be blue language if they asked him to slow down, I reckon.
I think Buemi could be ahead of him and they'll still ask Buemi to pull over for him. So you're going to be telling me, teammate, mate.
But yeah, so we'll move on to Buemi. I tipped him a couple of weeks ago to be the eventual champion. He's sort of had mixed results in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But yeah, his whole results, he has a couple of wins. Round 3 in Uruguay and round 7 at Monaco, which the Monaco lap was actually faster than the F1, mainly because they'd cut the track in half. But
yeah, they lost that track, yeah.
Yeah, they were kind of a bit concerned about the hairpin and the ascent up the hill there. But still, it was good. It was just unfortunate we couldn't see him flying through the tunnel.
Yeah, I think he got a couple of poles and a fastest lap as well to add to his points total.
Yep, he's got a fastest lap from Moscow, two poles, two DNFs and one no points, which hurt him.
Yep.
You know, if one of those DNFs, and the DNF in Argentina, he was actually on pole for, and had he finished that race with 25 points, he'd be the championship leader.
Yeah, and looking good going into the last round. Mm. He's the teammate of Prost, who we said before, from Switzerland. So could be very neutral in the inter-team war there. He actually is the reserve driver for Red Bull as well. Or test driver, sorry. He raced for Toro Rosso from 2009 to 2011. He's won WEC Championship last year with Toyota Racing in the LMP1H category. So definitely got the talent to do it on track. Just a matter of if he gets the points he needs.
Well, that's what I like. He's one of the unluckier drivers because he was taking it up to Sebastian Vettel when they were both in Toro Rossos.
Yeah.
Vettel ended up getting a bit of a lucky win in the rain. I'm going to stand by that being lucky.
Yeah, yeah.
And goes on to be a four-time world championship, which you probably can't say is luck because it happened four fucking times.
Yep.
But he was quite possibly one of the top 10 drivers on the F1 track and just fell away. As soon as Sebastian kicked on, he sort of disappeared because Toro Rosso, generally, they only use for developing drivers for the big team. And he got the test driver role for Red Bull and never anything else.
Yeah, I think they end up sticking in Jaime Alguersuari and Antonio Felix da Costa. I think they stuck in there. I think both of them actually raced in Formula E this season as well.
Alguersuari, yeah, he's out like we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's done pretty good in Le Mans and WEC for Toyota Racing. He's got, I think he finished second in the 24 Hours in 2013 and 2014 in the WEC he actually won it.
Yep.
So he's still a phenomenal talent. He's quite underrated, I find. But look, he's still my tip. For him to actually get up, it's going to mean he has to pretty much beat Piquet heavily on the road.
Yeah. But he's also got to beat Prost as well, who's going to be his teammate fighting for a championship, which makes it tough. I mean, who's going to get the optimal strategy from their team? You wouldn't be confident if you're Buemi.
Well, I guess because it's two rounds, though. It depends what happens in the first round.
Yeah, that's
in the
true.
First round, Buemi's fortunate enough, things fall his way, and he gets the hat trick. He gets the fast lap pole and the win. You'd have to get behind him.
Yep.
So
what does he need to win the championship? Have we got that yet?
Yeah, pretty much just needs to beat Piquet on the road.
Okay.
As long as Piquet doesn't take home many points. If Piquet crashes out, how karmic would it be if Prost decides to rear-end Piquet?
Well, yeah, I mean, could be pretty funny, but...
Well, what's Piquet going to do? How do you do that to me? Well, you fucking did it.
Yeah, that's true. And, I mean, he got kicked out of that whole entire series after that, too, so...
Well, it's kind of hard to lose your job when your dad's the boss.
That's it.
So and Prost is probably safe.
Well, even in the other one, it was Flavio Briatore, was team principal. He was actually Nelson Piquet's manager, so he's supposed to be looking after his career... orders him to crash so that Fernando can get the win and then gives him the sack. So fucking good job management there, mate. Yeah, cheers.
Well, he's not known for being a soft touch, Flavio. Yeah.
Well, he was managing Alonso as well, so I guess he had to pick team either way.
Well, yeah, he's certainly not shy.
Well, he ended up going on hiatus after that as well, so there wasn't much faith behind him there. I think he actually still manages Alonso. I'm not certain, though.
But yeah, I've still got Buemi as the winner, more out of... I don't like going for the favourite, to be honest.
Yeah,
I just can't get behind. Same. I can't get behind Piquet Jr.
Yep, I still can't go for Prost. So,
but moving on to Degrassi. Degrassi can actually get beaten on one race and still win. He's sitting second on 111 points, so he's only giving up 17 points, which means that if he gets double wins,
yeah. He's
looking pretty good.
And that's it. Like, usually that would be a lot going into the last round, but with a double E-Prix this season, definitely a catchable margin.
Yeah. Degrassi's only got one win, which is in the first round in China.
Yeah.
With that one, he also has a DNF and a disqualification.
Yeah.
I mean, if he has that win in Berlin, he's leading the championship. But as it stands, he got disqualified. Due to that non-standard front wing we mentioned earlier.
Yeah. And I mean, one thing you never take away from him, won the very first E-Prix ever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, good to have that. Yeah, Brazilian fella on the grid. He's racing for Audi Sport, isn't he? Audi Sport ABT. He's actually another Formula One alumni, drove for Virgin in 2010. Actually has the honour of crashing on a formulation lap, or the starting lap, on the way to the grid.
Yeah.
So, that's a feather you put in your cap there. those skills come very handy in Formula E because there's lots of crashing and sideways action. He's actually the test driver for Pirelli as well. I think they use a old the R30 chassis from Renault. I think they've updated it to a 2012 spec, so that's what he's doing outside of this car at the moment. Also finished second in the 24-hour Le Mans last year for Audi. So got the talent there. Doesn't mind getting a bit of sideways action. You should see him be very aggressive in corners and look to pull no punches, take no prisoners.
Yeah, I mean, he's been around a while. He's 30 years old.
Yeah.
And he just hasn't managed to sort of crack the big time. He's always been just sitting around the outside.
Yeah, wasn't he?
You know,
he's done some test driver roles.
Yeah, he's been involved in Renault a fair bit, Honda as well. I think he even had a bit of a gig with Virgin for a while, and he was the Pirelli test driver that mentioned.
Yeah.
He's always been just waiting to come through. If he had money behind him, he'd be an F1 driver.
Yeah, yeah.
But unfortunately, a lot of the Brazilian money tends to go to other drivers.
Yeah, tends to just go into pockets, I think.
Well, that too.
Isn't maybe there almost a revolution going on in Brazil at the moment?
Pretty much.
I know that from watching UFC, where every post-fight interview translated from Portuguese was just slamming the government.
Mm. The thing is, so he's only had two fan boosts, which was the first round that he won, and the last round where he finished second. Yeah. So, you know, who knows? If you're a Luca de Grassi fan, get on FanBoost, give him a couple of boosts.
Get on Reddit, pull your money together and chuck it all on de Grassi, get his fan boost in there.
Yeah, the problem is that Nelson Piquet Jr. has had a fan boost the last 4 weeks running, last four Grand Prix. And in those four, he's finished first, third, fourth, and first.
I'm sure someone on Reddit knows how to hack that system and they'll pass them on to Oriol Servia. Yeah, why not?
You're not suggesting that Brazil has cyber criminals in there, are you?
Well, no, they don't have money to gamble. I'm suggesting they come from Europe or somewhere else, Asia.
Yeah, we'll chat about Piquet Jr. Yeah. Does he have a sort of a racing nickname?
Nelsinho? Fuck knows, I don't know.
Let's just call him the cunt.
Piquinho?
just because I don't like him very much.
Wait, that escalated quickly.
Jesus. Well, you know, intentional crashes and all that shit.
Oh, we've got to get him excited for this weekend.
You need a bad guy, don't you?
You need villains. You need villains.
So I've got Buemi as the hero and Piquet as the villain in the black hat.
That's the way we're going to paint it.
Yep. I've heard he actually murders small puppies.
Yeah, the worst thing is usually I'd like to paint the English as the villain, but I actually don't mind Sam Bird. So
yeah,
I'll be behind him too. I think he's going to do fuck all because he's too far behind on points, but I still like him. He's been a good racer.
I have it on good authority that to charge up that car, they actually have slave children winding a wheel to generate electricity. That was on Facebook, so it must be true.
Yep.
But he's got two wins at Long Beach and at Moscow.
Hmm.
And two fastest lap at Miami and Germany. So he had a decent USA trip as well.
Yep.
And he's managed to back it up a bit. He's only got one DNF, which has helped him, which is round two in Punta del Este in Uruguay. But he's been remarkably consistent. Hasn't finished below fifth every time he's finished. So for all the other drivers that need him to drop down...
Round two was Malaysia, I think.
Hmm?
Round two was Malaysia.
Really tired, so it was, sorry. Yeah. All the drivers that need him to drop down could be struggling a bit. Unless someone wants to jump on the grenade and maybe give a bit of poetic justice.
Yeah.
Because, like we said, Buemi and Prost are the only teammates in there, so there's a few other teammates flying around that might be able to get a contract extension by taking them off of the team.
See, what I want to see is, in the pits, I want to see a camera permanently fixed on Nelson Piquet Sr. and Alain Prost, because those two had lots of battles on track when they were in Formula 1 back in the 80s. If for those who don't know, Nelson Piquet is two-time champion. I think Prost notched up four. Nelson Piquet is racing for Nextev China, isn't he? Nextev China team. Brazilian fella. Drove for Renault in 2001, as we touched on at the start. Involved in the Crashgate scandal in Singapore with the Renault F1 team and Alonso and Flavio Briatore and Pat Symonds all mixed up in that bloody shit fight. He's also, interesting thing, he's coming fourth in the Global Rallycross Championship this year. So, doing a bit of multitasking. So, probably explains why he's good with this crazy driving in Formula E if he's not bad on the dirt and the sideways and the rallycross. Maybe he can chuck some groove tyres on the FE and do a bit of FE rallycross.
Well, you know, whatever gets them some entertaining, I guess.
Well, I think Uruguay's on the beach, wasn't it? Like, next to the beach? So you could you could just slip it onto the dirt.
It's a gorgeous beach there, too.
Oh, it's beautiful, wasn't it?
remember taking a trip there. Also, there was one of the places where they got the markets nearby.
Yeah.
And it's like an old-style food market. I went there and they had this big formica bench around this big fire pit.
Yeah.
And my Spanish, not so great. And the conversion rate to Uruguayan pesos was crazy. So I didn't really understand the cost of anything either. But I'm looking through and I'm just like, ribs. I'll grab some ribs. And I figured, you know, pork ribs, lamb ribs, whatever.
Yep.
And they're like, oh, okay. See? And they put this big fucking rack of beef ribs on the thing. Just, and it's an open fire pit with like this rack on there and just throwing some sea salt on there. Just scorched them up. Jesus. Put it on the plate, hanging over the fucking edges. It was at least 18 inches long.
Delicious.
Each rib.
A big tomahawk and some, fucking things.
Some chimichurri there, and fuck me, it was spectacular.
That's the way to do any sort of motor racing, is get a big fucking fire, lots of meat, some beers.
Oh, shit.
I'm surprised those markets, you didn't see a couple of stripped down FE cars that have been chopped up, sold off for parts or something.
Could happen.
Found a little something.
But yeah, so look, if you manage to find yourself near Uruguay, go visit Formula E and go get the ribs. They're fucking fantastic. But look, for PK to win, well, to see off D'Ambrosio's hopes, he just really needs to take a pole.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a top five finish and he's done. If he finishes fourth, Prost's done. If he gets a pole and, you know, finishes in the top 10, he sees off Buemi.
So it's going to be hard for him to fuck it up from here, isn't it?
Pretty much, especially because he's got a double chance. Even if he crashes out of one, you've already got a spare car.
Yeah.
And you'd imagine, because it's a double header, there'd be more than one spare car as well.
And with a championship on the line, you would think that you're going to cover those bases. I mean,
yeah,
there's going to be a lot of marketing value in the inaugural FE championship for team and driver. I mean, a lot of these people are second chance drivers out of Formula One, so it could be the reignition their career needs.
Hmm. I'm not going to lie, I kind of hope that PK fucks up the Saturday. Because it means a Sunday's going to be an all-or-nothing belter, and every point will matter. So every driver's going to want to get that fastest lap in. So as soon as they get a bit of open air in front of them, they're going to fucking cane it. They're going to wind that bitch right up, and they're going to try and scream through and get fastest lap. And because you're not losing fuel, your fastest lap can be any lap.
Yeah, exactly.
Your first, your last lap, doesn't matter. And you see drivers turn the wick up a bit on the voltage.
Yeah.
And some of them haven't actually made the finish because they've used up too much electricity.
Exactly.
So, you know, there is that, because you've still got to finish the race.
Yeah.
A couple points of fast lap's no good if you don't finish the race.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a really interesting tactical battle.
Yeah, well, that's the thing with the swap over in the cars, is that you've only got a limited amount of battery life, but you can apply sort of the power of that battery pretty freely across how you want. So you could try and go flat out, but you might only last 10 laps. So on the second car, you might have a lead, but you've got to try and eke out that battery for way more laps than what you have already done. So it's a very sort of, it's a tricky fine line to walk to maximize it.
Not dissimilar to tire strategy in Formula One. Like, do you go the longer lasting tire and sacrifice time, or
exactly,
do you blow through them and do quali laps?
Well, we saw, I think it was the last Formula E race where, was it Nico Prost? No, Martin Piquet. It was out in front and they sort of put the hammer down in the first stint and built up about a 3 or 4 second lead. And it really came back at the end of the race where they got caught up and someone else had a bit of fresher energy in their batteries and made a really exciting end to the race.
Yeah, Piquet won that one, and it was Degrassi was catching him very rapidly.
Oh, they were mostly Piquet out in front, yeah.
But, one of the other F1 drivers that we've seen a bit of is Jean-Eric Vergne. He missed the opening two races, and he's in seventh, but he can't technically win the championship. But for the first two races, he wasn't even in the car. He wasn't even the driver that Andretti were expecting to use.
Yeah.
They had young Mr...
They've used a fuck ton of drivers. I think Andretti have used the most. Seven. Yeah.
Yeah, which is the most. Their first driver was Frank Montagny. Frenchman.
Yeah.
And, he won't be driving for them anytime soon because he's serving a 2-year suspension for having cocaine metabolites in his system when he was tested after a race. They excluded him from the race. It was round two.
Jesus.
And he's not getting a super license for 2 years.
That race was in Malaysia, wasn't it?
Yes.
They're pretty fucking tough on drugs there, aren't they? I wouldn't be taking cocaine there. Fuck.
Yeah, come to think of it, Jesus. I think they're one of the death penalty places. Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
So, yeah, maybe they just did that for his own good.
Well, you know, maybe you should hire this dude. He's obviously got no fear. Stick him in a car, he's going to put a pedal to the metal, that's for sure.
Yeah. But we look at the first couple there. He finished second in the first race, Montagna. So the car's decent, and Jean-Eric Vergne obviously took over that car afterwards, yeah. and straight away he's finished in the top 10, but with a pole. And throughout his season, he's 7th on 55, 3 poles, 2 fastest laps. No wins,
yep.
but he's been remarkably consistent. No DNFs, no 0 point weeks, and he's picked up a handy second over at, what was that one, Long Beach?
Monaco, I think. No. Oh, sorry, you're talking about, it's Da Costa. Oh,
yeah. Jean-Eric's got a handy second in Long Beach, and fastest lap in Monaco, which, you know, if you're going to really put the hammer down in Monaco, you've got to get a fucking ride or shoot
yeah.
the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
He did qualify in pole at Moscow, but went backwards a little bit, unfortunately. Yeah. He's one of the unluckiest bastards, because he was right up there with Ricciardo last year, or year before last. Ricciardo got the nod because in testing he showed he could keep pace with Vettel, and it was kind of proven last year.
Yeah.
He's just one of those guys that was a bit unlucky.
Well, his attitude sucks too.
Yeah.
Like hearing him whining afterwards saying, "You know, I know I can beat him, so I should have got that job because I know." It's like, but you didn't beat him. Mm. That's the whole point. You didn't.
But he's one of those also-rans at the moment, because he could have been up there in the championship points if he had have got the nod at the start. But they've kept him, which is much more than Andretti's done for other drivers.
Well, I think he's a test driver for Ferrari. So Ferrari got their American connection at the moment through Haas. So maybe you might see Jev maybe slip across, do a bit of testing for Haas when they get their car up and running for Formula One.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's the only... It's only he and Montagne who've been in the number 27 car.
Yep.
The number 28 car, let's see, they started with...
It's been a slot.
Let's started with Charles Pic.
Yep.
Who did the first race. And then Matthew Brabham did the second and third. He was fantastic in the second race, I thought. And the third race, he crashed out on a really rookie sort of overtake, which is bitterly disappointing. He's only 21 years old, even though he's born and raised in the US, so we'll still claim him as Australian, just because his last name's Brabham.
Yeah, fuck yes.
Yeah, and after that, he kind of went back, did his own thing. But yeah, he moved back into Indy Lights. Man, he's actually looking all right there.
Oh, yeah. Is there a Dallara team?
Yeah, they're all Dallara. Andretti as well, because Andretti are across Indy and Formula E.
Oh, yeah.
He's been looking all right. He hasn't had strong finishes, but he's only 21.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't got a whole lot of resume behind him, so you'd like to see him get a decent crack, you know, a whole season at least.
Well, he's got a whole lot of breeding behind him, though, because you look at... other second-generation drivers, like your Villeneuve's, your even Rosberg.
Yeah.
That's fine. But Jack Brabham, his granddad,
yeah.
won a World Drivers' Championship in Formula One in a car he fucking built.
Yep.
only bloke to ever do that.
Yep.
And the only team with a car that retired with 100% winning accuracy with the fan car, which technically was probably against the spirit of the rules, and they ruled it out, killed it off after that race.
Following the rules is against the spirit of the rules in Formula One.
Pretty much. But... yeah, he's got a Pro Mazda Championship win, as in he was the series winner.
Was he?
Yeah. So he's kicking goals everywhere, and that was in 2003 for Andretti. So Andretti is sticking behind him. And look at his results there. He won all bar 3 races out of 16 rounds.
Jesus.
So he's a phenomenal talent. And, you know, besides his granddad, his dad has won Le Mans. Where are we? His... uncles have won fucking everywhere. There's very few series they haven't been involved in.
Yep.
So it's just crazy, the amount of motoring experience in that family. I mean, shit, he could have a whole pit crew of just people he's related to.
Well, I mean, I think the only thing with wheels that their family hasn't raced is trains.
Pretty much. But, yeah, after Brabham, they had Marco Andretti for a bit. He gave a break from Indy and had a crack and didn't really... achieve a shit ton. But look, you know, they're trying to source it around a bit. And after that, Scott Speed got 4 races. He did pretty decent in his first one at Miami. You know, I think he hangs out there a fair bit.
Yeah.
So he finished second and then retired and was kind of well down the list after that in 12th and 13th. After that, they used Justin Wilson, who was probably just the nearest bloke they had.
Hey, he's the IndyCar championship driver, isn't he?
Yeah, but I don't think he's really going to benefit much from Formula E. But, you know, he had a bit of a crack at it. Fair play to him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's driving for Andretti in IndyCar. And now they've got Simona Di Silvestri, which I'm actually pretty excited by. I think she is a very talented driver. And look, if you want to see females in top-end motorsport, which IndyCar is getting quite a few women in, giving her a crack at it is ridiculous. She's only 26.
Yeah.
They've given her the name the Iron Maiden, just because she's so damn cool under pressure, which is very much a Swiss thing to do.
Yeah, so she's racing IndyCar for Andretti at the moment. So
yeah, and she's been doing pretty well. We look at her results there, and she's got decent amount of points. Nothing spectacular, but
it's not that good. Yeah, yeah.
Well, she's only really had three rounds, and prior to that, in 2013,
she's about due. She's about due for some good results. Yeah. Let's be honest.
Well, in 2013, she finished 13th.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's pretty decent.
Not too bad at all. The thing with her too, once I access the research, in IndyCar, she's got three starts, 18th, 4th, and 19th. But that's with 33 cars on track.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, for out of the gates, that's pretty good racing.
Yeah, and she finished 19th at Indy 500, which, it's an endurance sprint race, essentially.
Yeah. So a lot of pressure behind that race as well. It's got the history.
Yeah, and there's always screaming crashes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's going to be exceptionally good.
Do we know, is she racing this weekend, or are they sticking with...
No, she's doing both races.
Oh, awesome.
So it's going to be interesting, because she hasn't... Well, she would have driven the car in testing or something, but she hasn't actually had a Formula E race yet.
Yep.
So for whatever reason, they've decided, we're going with her, probably because most of the people are competing in Indy and said, fuck you off.
Yep.
But I think she could actually do quite well.
Yeah, well, it's just going to come down to staying out of all the trouble that's around there and still trying to protect your track space. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see how she goes. I'm kind of looking forward to it as well.
I'm going to keep an eye on it, just because I want to see if she beats John-Erik Vergne, because he will lose his fucking shit.
Yep.
Like,
pack it in.
He's a fairly arrogant bloke anyway, but you get the arrogant Frenchman, and they're kind of known for...
And the Swiss.
Well, yeah. The French and the Swiss kind of don't see eye to eye on a few things. And the French machismo might object to being beaten by a younger lady. And I think she can do it.
Yeah, she's definitely up there with a chance.
It's going to be fucking interesting.
So, the London track, is that what we're up to?
Yep.
We're at Battersea Park, isn't it? Sort of sandwiched between the Thames River and Prince of Wales Drive, just across from Chelsea. 17 turns this track. It's not, it doesn't look like the most exciting track on paper, but I think it's been set up very well for Formula E, where you can't have too much twisty-turny stuff because your batteries aren't going to last the whole race. You need to have a bit more free-flowing. But there's enough sort of corners that will set up overtaking. So enough kind of straights that it might have a little bit of a bend and then into running or corners. So I think it'd be conducive to some interesting racing. I think the pit lane is really interesting with how they set that up.
Well, yeah, because it runs perpendicular to the main straight, or the start-finish line straight.
Yeah.
So you get in there and then pretty much drive away from the track.
Yeah.
Go to your garage, switch over, and then drive back towards it.
Yeah.
You don't see that very often, but I guess with, space being at a premium, especially considering they're in central London, which is, that's another thing about Formula E. They're able to go to these areas because it's quieter. You're not increasing petrol fumes and everything, so...
Yeah.
It's spectacular to have, because we saw Moscow. The backdrop there was brilliant. It was perfect. You had the Kremlin in the background.
That was awesome, yeah. It looked really sensational.
The big cathedral there as well. Mm. And it's the sort of showpiece you can really do. I would love to see them flying across City Harbour Bridge.
Yeah. They had a couple of bummers where they held it at sort of abandoned airport terminals, which I thought was pretty fucked. But I think that was Russia and might have been Germany as well. I think they got to step the game up with that shit, so... It wasn't Russia, was it? It was Germany and someone else. Anyway,
probably pay less attention to the Lonely Planet guide and maybe go visit yourself.
Yeah, but what is it? 2.2, just under 3Ks, 29 laps. I'm pretty looking forward to it. Anti-clockwise are going around this track, aren't they?
Yeah, and the thing with it too, like we mentioned before, it's a double race. They're not qualifying. They're doing reverse grid or anything.
Yeah.
It's two full days of full race meeting. So every morning they're up. They've got practice 1 and 2, practice 1's at 8 in the morning, practice 2 at 10.
Yep.
And then they've got qualifying groups. So that's the other thing with Formula E too. They qualify in groups, so you don't get blocked on track.
Yeah, which, I mean, especially you've seen the circuits, they get really thin in some parts.
And they're also generally a shorter circuit than Formula 1 sees. And then, you know, they've got the announcement of fan boost and then the race.
So you're open to vote on the fan boost as well. We just go to the website and we have a big banner there saying vote for fan boost. So have a crack.
Yeah, just don't vote for Piquet Jr.
Yeah, no.
You know, and we say that as completely unbiased. I don't know what the verbal equivalent of air quotes is, but journalists.
Those ones, yeah.
But yeah, it is going to be a spectacular race, especially if PK manages to get fucked up a little bit on Saturday.
Yeah, that's what you want to see.
Which could entirely happen. His ability to handle pressure has been questioned previously.
Yep.
And who knows, maybe some smart ass managed to hack into his radio and say, Nelson, we need you to crash into the wall. Really? Okay, bang.
Could be some back behind the scene deals going on as well with some backmarkers or someone else sticking in reverse.
Wouldn't that be hilarious?
I don't know, you plug your iPhone into their car, use the battery.
Charge it up. Shit.
I think this one's actually powered by solar energy for the first time.
Yeah, they've generated the power with solar.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be... You know, it's going to be the way of acceptable motor racing.
Yeah.
And this is the sort of... It can bridge the gap between people who are like, oh, no, that's dirty, disgusting motor racing, loud.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people who appreciate good racing.
And it's going to be interesting seeing those people find something else to be against racing for, you know what I mean? Because generally they just don't like the people who like racing as opposed to the series itself.
And look, you know, there's always going to be certain snobs because in all fairness, I think there's not a lot of crossover between the V8 supercar guys up on Mount Panorama and the people in the F1 paddock with Tag Heuer watches on.
It's all right. It's okay to choke those people too.
Yeah, but it's good to see both groups can still watch nice, tight racing and enjoy it.
Yep.
And I think Formula E can be another bridge as well, which will extend to the people who maybe watch the Tour de France.
Yeah.
I can't imagine much more boring, to be honest, but you know, if they want to check out four-wheel racing, they could certainly do worse than having a look at Formula E.
I mean, you probably see some chicks in tights instead of guys in tights too. So, I mean, yeah. You've got to see that from Tour de France. Is the Tour de France on at the moment?
Oh, I don't care.
No, I don't care. Also, if you're, you know, hang on, no, Ash hasn't started yet, is it?
Yeah, it's next week.
That's next week. Oh, there you go. Well, this will be the probably last bit of excitement you'll get in London for the next couple of months. So, probably best get around it.
Yeah, look, it will be genuinely fantastic. There's emerging drivers, there's drivers who've been in Formula One, there's a few drivers that probably should have made more of themselves.
Yep.
Bruno Senna. But look, regardless, you're going to see guys flat out, guys and girls, going flat chat, getting every point they can. Because even if you're not in championship contention, if you can finish top four, top five, you're going places. Because you can guarantee Formula One owners are looking at these races.
Absolutely.
And with Haas coming in next year, you know, they're looking for drivers. And hey, no F1 driver's secure. Unless you win the driver's championship, and even then sometimes, you can't guarantee on a job, even if you've got a contract.
Exactly. I mean, money talks. Old mate might have some fairly strong money back from Colombia with the cocaine metabolites in there. Might know some powerful people, get himself a F1 seat for next year.
Well, he can't. He's suspended for 2 years.
Oh, that's just a matter of...
He'll have to wear someone else's helmet.
Cash in Todd's back pocket.
I think Todd's got a fair bit of cash in his back pocket, to be honest. He can probably stand to lighten the load a little.
I think he's in the back pocket of a few blokes with cash.
Yeah. I mean, one other bloke that I wish was still going around was Takuma Sato. He had a DNF in the first...
So does Takuma Sato.
He had a DNF in the first race. He's going around Indies... And actually very strong around there. But he had the fastest lap in that race. So he turned up, didn't even finish a race, and he's still beating another 10 drivers.
Well, at least he knows that if he really wanted to finish a race, he'd probably beat everyone.
Well, finishing races isn't exactly what he's known for. He is spectacular to watch, just because his bonsai kamikaze sort of behaviour. I think he's the sort of guy that even Kobayashi goes, fuck, man, this dude's out of control.
I still remember his one-handed... drive around the embankment of the old... Wasn't they had the... I think it was... Is it Indy or Canada? Canadian Grand Prix.
Indy.
Yeah, where they go on the inside of the Indy track and then onto the banked part for a little bit.
Yeah.
He's doing that one-handed. Just that one in his lap. Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
It's all right.
He is a loose cannon, but he's done all right in Indy. He's got a couple of podiums. Yeah. But, you know, he is 38 years old. He's pretty much been there, done that for everything. Mm. I actually like watching him race.
Yeah, me too.
So maybe he's one of the guys that could really ramp Piquet.
Yeah.
He may not even mean to. He might just be doing...
just get bored.
Well, yeah. And he's not even supposed to race, but fuck, if he turns up, who knows? Yeah. But yeah, I genuinely think this is going to be a spectacular race. And... honestly, it'll be a better spectacle than the last few F1 races.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm really looking forward to it. I can't wait.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll see you there, and we'll do a wrap-up afterwards, and hopefully it won't be for Piquet winning.
No, so 1 a.m. Sunday and Monday morning it's on. So, yeah, thanks for listening, guys.
Set your timers, and catch you later.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.